All right, welcome back. Who's talking? Jim Hobgood here alongside Frank Maloney, Michael Tusky, our engineer Jesse in studio, and we'll be joined momentarily by UVA head tennis coach Brian Bolin. So we thank our first half-hour guests, Alex Hardy and my teammate Andrew Benigni, and Frank Maloney now going to do the introduction of Coach Bolin.
Well, for over 10 years now, Coach Bolin has turned the ACC into his personal sandbox. The Wahoos have dominated some epic win streak. I think
79.
It's not in the 80s yet?
No. Well, he's one match away.
Yeah, he's one match away. Suffice to say, just
dominant.
Dominant. Has controlled the ACC, has been to the quarters, the national quarters, the national semis, and last year the finals. They've won the national indoors, four times or something? Five times. I'm getting corrected left and right here.
Well, they're looking for a fifth consecutive this year, so they've won
it. So I was right. Four.
They've won it four consecutive times.
Anyway, Brian, are you there?
I am here.
Perfect, perfect. Good timing. They didn't give me enough time. I had 10 more things I wanted to say, but suffice is to say we're delighted to have you on the show tonight, and love what you've done for the UVA tennis program, you and your lovely wife, Becky, and you've had some great kids come through there. And speaking of kids, Sanam Singh and Michael Shabazz have moved on to their professional lives, and now you have to sort of find some new leadership. How's that working out?
It's going really well, actually. And I appreciate you bringing up Michael and Sanam. They were incredible student-athletes for us and put in four great, hard years. In fact, Michael just won his first professional tournament last weekend, which was a huge thrill for him. And he's in Panama at the moment playing as we speak in the second round of another professional event. So things are going well. And obviously, you know, we were pleased to have Mitchell Frank come into our program this year, who's our new first year, who is already ranked number one in the country. He happens to play three for us, but you know, he's as good as the rest of the guys, and certainly he's been a huge addition to our program, and he's just a hard worker and a great kid. And the leaders on our team have been tremendous, with Jameer Jenkins, who's a third year, and Drew Courtney, a fourth year, who've had tremendous success as Wahoos and have done a great job as captains and leading our team this year. So we're things are going well. We're obviously excited about the weekend.
Well, obviously, you've got the national ITA team indoors up there at the Boar's Head Sports Club in Charlottesville, and Auburn, Baylor, Stanford. What more could you ask for?
The release
is a great opportunity for us to get tested early in the season. We have 16 of the best 20 teams in the country coming in, and all of the top 10 teams qualified. So they do treat this in the way you qualify, just like the national outdoor championships. You know, they have the 64 draw, and the teams advance to the final 16 site, which is here in Charlottesville for the second time in 3 years. And it's going to be great to play in front of our home crowd, our own courts, and go for our fifth straight national indoor title. So it's exciting.
Coach, this is Jim Hobgood. I'm just kind of curious. I know hard work is a key component, but what do you attribute the success you've been able to generate in Charlottesville?
Well, Jim, I think, you know, it takes everything in terms of having the support of the administration, of having kids who buy into your system and improve and develop and surround yourself with a great coaching staff. I mean, I've been really happy with the addition of Andres Pedrosa, who's our associate coach, who was coaching for the United States Tennis Association with Patrick McEnroe, and he spent some time with Marty Fish and Ryan Harrison and Sam Querrey on the tour, and then he worked with some of the young kids, some of the best young juniors in this country. And then Scott Brown, who's another one of my assistants, who's a graduate of Vanderbilt, who played at a high level and certainly has coached as well at a high level. So I have a great staff. I have a bunch of young kids who come into the program. They really believe in the program. They love it. They work hard, and they do things the right way, both on and off the court, and make each other better and buy into the things that we want to see happen as coaches. And it's a lot of momentum. And I think, you know, the final thing is I've really never let up on the pedal. You know, I feel like I come into every year with the same intensity as I did last year. And I think the rest of the coaches have followed suit. So it's so competitive out there nationally. There's so many good teams. There's so much depth, especially in college tennis with the international flavor that, you know, the minute you leave your foot off the accelerator, somebody's right behind you. And, you know, the competitive culture of high-level Division I sports. So we've really kept the intensity, and we've continued to recruit hard and work hard and make the players better. And they've, like I said, they really believe in the program. And then we have great support from the community and certainly the administration.
Brian, back to this season, you know, and looking at the schedule ahead, you've got future home matches with people like Oklahoma and Boston College, Eastern Kentucky, Wake, NC State, Florida State, and Miami. And then this year the ACC tournament is down in Cary, North Carolina. As you see this season evolve, and we're starting to get to the matches that really matter, right? What are your expectations, and how do you control your excitement level? Because it seems to me that you've got another top-notch team that's very deep, very talented. You're very strong in the top third of your, you know, half of your lineup. And it kind of hard not to sort of look ahead?
You know, Frank, it is at times hard not to look ahead. You know, we had such a close match last year, losing in the national final to USC, and the last match on 6-4 in the third, which was a heartbreaker, and you taste that, and certainly I think it only makes you hungrier. And the guys worked extremely hard over the summer, and you know, again, it's like anything. I mean, we have so much competition within the ACC. We have a great non-conference schedule, probably the toughest non-conference schedule we've ever put together. I think, as you saw a couple weeks ago, we played three top 15 teams back-to-back-to-back, Texas A&M, Florida, Texas, all in one weekend here at home. And
your team only lost lost two matches.
Yeah, we won 7-0, 6-1, 6-1, and we did it without Mitchell Frank, the nation's number one player. So I think that gave the team a lot of confidence. We certainly have our hands full with, you know, other teams around the country. Obviously, USC is strong again this year. They've won three straight national titles outdoors, and you know, they always have posed a certain problem for us. So, you know, I think right now we just need to do what every good team would do, which is focus on taking one day at a time, not getting ahead of ourselves, you know, enjoying the journey and focus on getting better every day and controlling what we can. I think that's what every good championship team does. And, you know, all I ever tell anybody is we can't control the end results, but we certainly can be in the position year in and year out with this program. We've done that. I'm really proud of our consistency. It's probably the one thing that I think has been the hardest thing to achieve, is just year after year having a shot at it. Obviously, you have to wait a whole year to get another chance to go into May with a chance to win a national championship. But, you know, we just have to, like I said, keep the intensity and work really, really hard and do the right things. And, you know, eventually things will fall our way. But I'm really proud of our consistency, and I'm proud of the effort and the kind of kids that we have in the program. You know, they not only succeed on the court, but, you know, this last semester, for example, and I know a lot of Wahoo fans out here care about this, is that the team carried a 3.1 GPA, and the kids are doing well. They graduate. They do things the right way, and I'm really proud of those things.
All right, on that note, you know, the sport has been very popular in Charlottesville. You're attracting between 1,500 and 2,000 fans to these matches at the Boar's Head. There are rumors that there are plans in the works to expand the facilities there. What can you tell us at this point?
You know, at this point, I can't really comment on that because it's not something that we put out there. You know, it's something that I think down the road that is something that, you know, we've discussed, but I think that's really all I can say at this point, Frank. It, you know, we certainly have a great home court advantage in terms of the facilities we currently have. The Schneider Tennis Center right on the grounds has been good to us. The thing about the community and the student body is, you're right, tennis is so popular. And if you ever drive by the outdoor courts at night or any time, they're almost always full. I mean, you'll drive by there at 10 o'clock at night, and all 13 courts will be full on a nice, you know, spring evening. It's really amazing. And like you said, the crowds have been amazing. The sport is very popular here. We've almost led the attendance rates nationally every single year for a long time now, and we expect to have huge crowds this weekend. I know that we have three or four buses coming in for several matches over the weekend from out of town. I think one from Richmond, one from Virginia Beach, a couple from Northern Virginia. So, and then we also have the Charlottesville people. So it's really gained in popularity, and I think it's an exciting time for our program, and I give a lot of credit to the kids for just the way they compete and how well they represent the university.
Well, Coach, on the facilities, just tell my buddy Parkhill to get out there and get you the resources you need to get the job done. But at any rate, as always, we appreciate you taking a couple of minutes to join us tonight. We wish you the very best of luck this weekend in the tournament, and Frank has one last comment or question here for you.
Coach, before we let you go, what's the latest from our friend Somdev?
Actually, I just talked to Somdev. I'm glad you brought that up. He had shoulder surgery. He's out for about 5 months. He's living in Charlottesville right now. I actually just saw him about 20 minutes ago where we had a conversation. I have the luxury of seeing him almost every day right now, which is great. He's living in Charlottesville, this really is his second home, and he's working with the training staff to get his shoulder healthy again. He had surgery, and he'll probably be competing again, is my guess, in mid-June to early July. But, you know, typical Somdev, he takes everything in stride. He's a tough kid. He's doing really well, and, you know, he's just on one hand, it's unfortunate that his career has to be on hold, but his perspective is amazing, and it's just great to have him around to be able to spend this quality time with him. He's an amazing person, and to spend 4 years with a player like that, I think coaches could coach their, 50 years and never have the opportunity I had to coach Somdev Varmit for 4 years. He's the real deal.
Yeah, that's the joy of coaching, is the relationship with those kind of kids. But
amazing.
But hey, Coach, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, no Wahoo is ever going to forget Somdev's fist pump after beating John Isner down there at the University of Georgia to win the NCAAs.
Amazing. And, I'm sure that you recently saw the U.S. beat Switzerland in Davis Cup, and John Isner beat Roger Federer.
Yeah, how did
that
happen?
Back, which is just amazing, the job that John's done out there. I mean, just being the Fed. And of course, Somdev had great success on the tour. Dom Inglot just won the Dallas Challenger. He's in town this week to watch the indoors. He's doing great. He's gone over 400 spots in the ATP rankings in 1 month from being out for a year with some injuries. But I'm really proud of Tread Heuy. Just cracked the top 50 in the world in doubles and just represented in Davis Cup. And these kids are doing some amazing things, and I'm so proud of them. You're right. That's what makes coaching so special, is to have these lifelong relationships. And I'm just so proud to see what these guys are doing. It's just tremendous.
All right, Coach, as we say, good luck, and we look forward to having you back this spring as the season develops. At any rate, Coach Brian Bolin of the UVA tennis team.
Good luck, Brian.
All right, we're still hoping maybe to get Dr. Nedif to call back in here and talk a little bit about Joe Harris and some of the other injury things. But in the meantime, we got a little big basketball game coming up on Saturday, as Frank alluded to earlier, a game that the Cavs have to figure out a way to win.
Crucial. Who knew 2 or 3 weeks ago that the Hoos would be sitting in this predicament?
Well, you look at it and you're disappointed because what the record was. Certainly losing at North Carolina is not embarrassing. And, the other two losses at Duke, at Florida State, I guess the two games that maybe you'd like to, certainly the one you'd like to have back is the Virginia Tech game at home that they lost. Clemson on the road, Clemson's not a bad basketball team. They've lost a lot of close games. So that certainly was a game that you go down there thinking you have a chance to win. Particularly if you're healthy. That's the real challenge that they've got now. They didn't have a whole lot of depth to start with, and now that you got guys hurt, it really makes it challenging for Coach Bennett and his staff.
Well, very good. I know that Dr. Nedif tried to call in earlier, and we were sort of jammed up in the parking lot, basically, with guests, but we hopefully he'll call back in. Why don't we run through the Olympic Sports Report real quick? Before we go to break, we got 3 minutes. Let's do it. Michael Tuskey here for the Olympic Sports Report.
All right, the Virginia women's basketball team is now 18-8 and 6-6 in ACC play after destroying Clemson 68-36 on Sunday in Charlottesville. The team tied a school record with 26 steals and forced 29 turnovers, while senior forward Chelsea Sine scored 20 points in the contest. Next, the Cavaliers host number 7 Maryland Terrapins at 7 p.m. tomorrow night at John Paul Jones Arena and travel to Blacksburg to take on the dreaded Hokies at 2 p.m. Sunday. The number 20 Virginia wrestling team beat Appalachian State 29-12 to win its seventh consecutive dual match on the road last Saturday, taking 7 of 10 weight classes in the process. Virginia's record stands at 9-1 for the season as they host their final two dual meets this Sunday at Memorial Gymnasium. They will wrestle number 25 Old Dominion at 2 p.m. and George Mason at 4 p.m. Senior Day festivities will occur prior to the ODU bout.
All right, we'll complete the rest of the Olympic sports report, but let's go quickly to Dr. David Nediff. Dr. Nediff, are you there?
Yes, sir.
Very good. Thank you. Sorry for the mix-up. Blame me.
No problem.
Shoot me on this one. I must have fumbled the ball. But
we blame Frank for virtually everything.
No, he doesn't. No, he doesn't. He knows without Frank there would be no who's talking. All right. All right, Doc. Number of things. Number one, we know that you are a knee specialist, particularly for Ortho Virginia, formerly West End Orthopedic. Although I do see in your resume quite a bit of experience with shoulder surgeries, and let's talk about Chris Byrd real quick, because Chris Byrd is trying to get a shot at the NFL, and he's a Richmond area player, broke his collarbone down there in the Chick-fil-A Bowl. What might he be doing now to try to get himself ready for what's coming up as NFL Scout Day at UVA on March 15th?
Well, there's actually been a pretty big shift over the past 15 years in treating collarbones. In the old days, we used to think that, they just heal no matter what happened. You just left them alone, let them heal. But what we've learned is that they don't do as well as we thought. And so we've been a lot more aggressive about fixing them. So we'll often, use a plate and screws to align the bone correctly, and it'll heal quicker and they get back to activities quicker. So I don't know whether or not he had surgery. If it's a non-displaced break, meaning they're lined up perfectly, then you can just leave that alone, and that should heal in about 6 or 8 weeks. But we have been more aggressive fixing those in the last decade.
Doctor, we're visiting with Dr. David Nediff of Ortho Virginia. And Doc, I know hand is not your specialty, but everybody at Virginia is kind of interested in the Joe Harris situation. Is there any insight you can give us relative to his situation? Particularly,
yeah.
Was it likely to get better with the passage of a few days or a week or so?
Yeah, well, one good thing about the bones in the hand is that their blood supply is just tremendous. I mean, if you've ever cut your hands, you realize how much blood goes into that little structure. So the bones in the hand often heal very quickly. There are a few bones in the hand that are kind of notorious for being difficult, but I don't believe that's what he had from the press release I read. It's something that oftentimes they're stable, so they can even play with some kind of soft cast or even a particular way of taping that the athletic trainer might be able to do to support it. So it's definitely feasible someone could break their hand and play within that very week of play. So hopefully that's the case for him.
Lastly, Ahsan Sen broke his ankle back on January 19th. Had surgery on the 20th, put a couple screws and a plate in there, and then my understanding was last week they took the cast off his foot, and they're starting the range of motion, sort of the massaging and that kind of stuff. What else might UVA be doing to try to get him ready to play again?
Well, again, the ankle bone's another bone that can heal pretty quickly, and so my guess is at this point the bone's fairly healed, so they're going to be pretty aggressive probably with rehabbing him. I'm sure they're allowing him to weight bear fully on it right now, or at least as tolerated. They're probably being aggressive with restoring his motion and strength. And it would not be, unbelievable to think he would be able to go in the next 3 or 4 weeks.
Well, they certainly need him in time for the ACC tournament. Well, Dr. Nediff, thank you for hanging with us, and we will bring you back here before the end of this season. And next time, we're going to plug you in at 6:22 to give you some prime time. How's that?
Okay. No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right. We're going to head to break. When we come back, we'll wrap up with the Olympic Sports Report.